Our scripture reading this morning will be from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. There we read, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving, and the courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations."
Psalm that we've just read, in particular in verse 2, makes a great declaration. He begins in verse 1 that says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." And then in verse 2, he says, "Come before his presence with singing." In verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." That's a very important lesson for us to take into consideration as well as we are considering our standing before God. So we're going to be spending a lot of our time this morning in Romans chapter 1. There's a progression, there's an idea and a mindset that has come about through the people as the apostle was writing there in Romans chapter 1. But a lot of it stems because they had given up their knowledge that he is God. They had given up and did not like to retain the knowledge that there is a God. And in particular, they had made of themselves that they were something much greater than they truly were, because they had not considered that it is he who has made us and not we ourselves, and not that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And we see the outcoming of that here in Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." So this morning we're going to be considering the idea of being thankful, but that stems from the idea of remembering who it is that God is and what he has done for us. When we consider the society around about us, the world in general, and the things that we see and hear in our daily lives through the media, through the radios, through the things that we listen to, what we read, there's a great change that's in this society where we continue to see, as people think less and less about God, what is it that they do think about? We consider that there's an attitude that's been developed in our society. It's one that we see progressing more and more as we see more and more being demanded of people, but we recognize this more of a self-indulgent mindset. When we consider and give up on the idea that there is a God, we see that there's people that will fill that void in their lives that had been filled but with the knowledge of God with a self-indulgent mindset instead. There are those who say, "The government owes me something." And they say, "What can I get out of this? What is it that I can achieve for myself in these ways?" And when we consider even the billboards that we pass by, there's so many things where attorneys and lawyers who are out there will say, "If anything has wronged you in some particular or small way, I can get you millions. Think of what you can have for yourself in some different ways and some aspects." One of them that was kind of shocking, just a couple of years ago, you might remember, there was a case where a young lady took her parents to court because she demanded that they pay for her college education. And she was suing her parents for her own college education. It was a very self-indulgent mindset, not mindful of what had been given to her previously, but very self-indulgent. What do my parents owe me because of who I am? We consider again the influence that the outlook of society has had on us as a greater scale as well. It stems from an idea of not being thankful for those things that we do have. Instead, it's an expecting, self-indulgent society. And we see that there are many things that stem from this simply because we are not thankful for what has been given to us and what we currently have. So if you would turn over to Romans chapter 1 with me. We're going to be doing some reading from Romans chapter 1. We're going to pause throughout some of this as well to consider what's being stated in some of these various verses. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, consider just this very beginning of it. When we look at the world around about us, and we see the things that have been created, we see, as Bruce reminded us in our prayer this morning, the very things that sustain us in this life. We consider the great power and wisdom that it would take to craft and to design and to build this. We recognize, as the writer here says, that even from the very things that were created, God has shown that he is there, and that he is a God in what he is capable of. And then we recognize here, but there are those who refuse to glorify God, nor were thankful to him. And thus they became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. In verse 22 it says, they were professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. So again, we see here that those who would give up the knowledge of God and would not glorify him, nor were thankful to him, they professed in their own minds to be wise. They had a different explanation. They had a different way of explaining the things that they saw around about them because they gave up glorifying God and were not thankful to him. And we see progressing down through here how God had given them up and the things that man invented among themselves to do. And I'd like for us to focus for the next few minutes down here in verse 28 beginning. Picking up again in verse 28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." Again, consider as we can look at the world around about us in our society, how many like to retain the knowledge of God in their minds, who focus and think about the things of God, who even consider him as real. And then we're going to consider some of these things that we can see around about us. And in particular for us, I'd like for us to think of ourselves too. If any of these things that we're going to be reading in the next few verses would be things that would describe our own attitudes and our own mindsets, let's be wary of that. Be considerate of it. As we consider these things that we're about to read here in Romans chapter 1, picking up again in verse 29. He says that they had not looked, in verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. He gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness because they were not thankful. They were filled with all unrighteousness. That is the aspect that there is no respect for the law, for doing those things that are right. We see an abundance of things that goes against the ideas of righteousness. They're instead being filled with unrighteousness or lawlessness. The next point of it, sexual immorality. Again, we see such a great influence of that in our media and in our society round about us, the normalization of sexual immorality and things that had once been shadowed and hidden in the dark has been coming out. We still see the rampant disease and other things that come about because of sexual immorality in our society round about us. General wickedness that we see amongst us. How about covetousness? Again, when we consider even just the billboards that we see out on the side of the roads, the greed that's being portrayed by many of them. There's one advertisement on the radio that I hear quite frequently where they like to advertise that if you've tripped and fallen somewhere, if a dog has bitten you, or if something has scratched you, well, call this lawyer and he can get you a huge settlement because you've tripped and fallen someplace. And that's the way he chooses to advertise himself, feeding off of people's covetousness, their greed for more. How about maliciousness? Evil with a forethought and intent to do more. Maliciousness, those who seek to do even more harm to others. How about those who are full of envy? Again, what was it that we had just talked about with it? When we consider the things that people are out to do, it's only to achieve and gain more. Full of envy. How about murder? We look around at some of the news cycles. There are those who proudly state and claim, I am proud of the abortions that I have had. And it's a wonderful thing that I have had this abortion. And they look for, that they take pride in murder of a small child. And it's something that they continue to portray and to grow and hope for greater respect in the society round about them. And yet it's becoming a standardized thing, just murder in particular. Strife. Even about strife amongst ourselves. We see news reports constantly about unrest and how it grows among our community. We have deceit that's growing. When we consider the aspect that we have situational ethics that's been taught for years and years, and there's this moral gray zone where you can't really tell what's right and what's wrong. And you can get away with almost anything, because in a certain light, almost anything can be seen as being good and fair and right. Yet we see that continuing to grow around about us. We see evil-mindedness, those who constantly are feeding evil and wicked things into their own thoughts. And we hear the ways that people speak. You see that the things that they think about are what comes out of your mouth. And do we hear that portraying and giving people away the things that are on their mind? Whisperers, those who spread rumors and gossip round about them. Backbiters, we see great political moves that are being made in our workplaces constantly, and those things that people will do to advance for just a little bit more money, for a little bit more pride. There's a great idea of being backbiters. There are those who are pure haters of God. There are violence. There are those who are proud. And we see those that stand high above all the rest of them and say, look at the great things that I have accomplished, what I can do for us. So very proud in the society. Those who are boasters round about, inventors of evil things, those who are disobedient to parents, those who are undiscerning or without understanding. We see so many if you look upon social media and upon the internet, there are things that are copied and pasted, shared constantly, that are full of lies because they're not discerning. They're not looking for the truth. And we see constantly those who would be without understanding, continuing to pass upon things that are not true. Those who have become untrustworthy, not dependable people amongst us. Those who are unloving, just a general lack of compassion for the people in need that we see around about us. Those who are unforgiving, again, these last two, unforgiving and unmerciful, again, consider the great amount of lawsuits, the great amount of things that go on in this world where people want their things and those things to be done for them because they feel slighted, taken advantage of, perhaps. Again, I'm not saying that there's not legitimate reasons sometimes, but consider the vast amount of things that are being done because people are unwilling to forgive and are unmerciful to each other as well. When we look at this, there's 23 different mindsets here that's shown as being filled with unrighteousness. But at the beginning of all of it, it's saying that this is stemming from those who did not glorify God and were unthankful to Him. Do we consider that all of these things come from not wanting to retain God and our knowledge? And we see the great digression that can come upon us because we're not thankful. We refuse to give up and we refuse to glorify God. Read over with me, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, as the people of Israel were about to enter to the land of Canaan for the first time, they received warnings by Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 7, he says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey." He goes on to describe how great and rich and bountiful this land was to sustain the people. Then down in verse 10 he says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Again, be mindful of who it was who brought you into this land, who had sustained them for the many 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness, in a land that didn't have these flowing waters and brooks, that the land that was not suitable to sustain them, and yet God sustained them. Then who brought them into that land safely as well? He says in verse 10, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And then the warning in verse 11, beware that when you that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents. He describes again the great things that he had brought them through. Then down in verse 17, he says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Again, what was the temptation that would lie before the people? They had known great poverty and bondage for many years. They'd been led through the wilderness where there wasn't much to begin with. And then they are being led into this rich land that would sustain them, that God was giving to them. And he says here, after you have fed and you have gotten rich, you say in your heart, I, my power, and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So for the people of Israel who had that covenant that God had brought them forth and into, he says, remember, it is I who has brought you into this and given you this wealth and given you this power to partake of these things. And it's not by your own power and the might of your own hand that you have gained that. Would that be a warning for us as well? But consider those who have given up the knowledge of God. And we look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've just been warned of the type of society that we fall into when we give up the knowledge of God. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see those who would profane the knowledge of God as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Again, this list sounds very familiar to what was read over in Romans chapter 1. And the warning here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5, at the end he says, and from such people, turn away. For us as well, who profess Christ and have this knowledge of him, that's not the type of society that we want to put ourselves into the company of. We consider, do we want to hang around people as described here in verses 2 through 5? Those who are traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? We see that type of company that comes of, and the wickedness and unrighteousness that's developed in that type of a mindset. And our warning here is to turn away from such people, those who are unthankful to God and unmindful of him and his ways. So I'd like for us to consider now some of those examples of those who were thankful in a very pleasing way to God that might be good examples for us if we ever we struggle and we find ourselves not proclaiming our thanks to God for the times that we're in, for the things that we have. Even in difficult times, there's the opportunity for us to be thankful to God and always be mindful of him. And beginning here with the example of Daniel and his giving of thanks. In Daniel chapter 6, we see that there was a plot that was laid against Daniel by his peers that he had worked with in the king's court. And they had gotten the king to sign a proclamation that no one would make any kind of petition to anyone except for the king for a certain amount of time, because they knew that Daniel prayed to his God every day. And they knew that they wouldn't be able to trap him because Daniel was a righteous person, obeyed the laws of the land, did what was right. So they said, We have to find something that we can trap him in regards to his God. And even under the threat of being thrown into a den of lions, and as soon as Daniel knew, as we see here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, that that was set into law, very impressively it says, it was as it was his habit, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Just this petition to his God brought with it the sentence of death. And yet we see Daniel very boldly going back to his room, as he always had, opening up his windows as he always had, and 3 times that day praying to God, giving thanks to God. Even with the threat of death over his head, Daniel remained thankful to his God and mindful of him. It's a great example for us as well that we should have our priorities straight. And in all circumstances, we have an opportunity to give thanks to God as well. And it's also a good reminder of a type of habit that we ought to have. Sometimes it's difficult to be mindful of what it is that we ought to be thankful for. Again, we pray sometimes here where we're reminded of the many things that we have been given from God, even just our very life, the opportunity to assemble as we have today. And perhaps there's some who need some other encouragement. I'd recommend that you look at the book of Psalms. As we have started out this morning, Psalm 100 gives us a wonderful example of just a very simple thing to be mindful of, to give thanks to God for. But when you look towards the end of the book, there's 15 Psalms that are devoted purely to giving thanksgiving and praise to God, where you see the word hallelujah repeated again and again through those Psalms. That means praise to God is what hallelujah means. And we see that there's an opportunity there, and there's many things that we're mindful of from reading the Psalms that God has done that we can give thanks to Him for. Next, we consider the example of Nehemiah. Here were people who had been in bondage for many, many years and lived in a foreign land, and then they were given the opportunity and the blessing of the king of Persia to go back and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And yet, in the face of great persecution, when they made it back to Jerusalem from the neighboring people who had come about them, they successfully completed the building of the wall around Jerusalem. And it was a great and wonderful time for the people. And the first thing that they did in Nehemiah, after they had completed the walls, they were secure from their enemies, they set out thanksgiving choirs, Nehemiah did, people who were dedicated to singing thanks and praise to God. And they went throughout the city, everybody singing these praise and thanksgiving to God. If you look in Nehemiah chapter 12, down in verse 31, it says, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed 2 large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate, and then the other one followed after as well." And then we see down in verse 38, it says, "The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall going past the tower of the ovens as far as the broad wall." Then picking up again down in verse 40, it says, "So the 2 thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and the half of the rulers with me." He goes on to describe how many people that were there with him to give these praise. And down in verse 42 at the end, he says, "The singers sang loudly with Jezariah, the director." So again, you see the great joy that they had, and they expressed it through the singing, and it was songs of thanksgiving to God. Again, people who had been captive for so many years, who had been separated from their homelands, they had been allowed to come back, and then even then, they were threatened by those who would become their neighbors in the land, and yet God had allowed them to successfully complete a very great task. So mindful for us, do we give praise and thanks to God when He has allowed us and helped us to complete a task or answered our prayers? We know Nehemiah was a very prayerful person throughout all of this. He put his petitions before God as the book begins, this record in Nehemiah. It begins by him making petition to God that he might go back and perform the work. And what we see at the end of this book is he's giving thanks to God for the time that he has given him and the completion of it as well. Another very interesting one that we see for us is the example of Paul. In Acts chapter 27, we have the journey that Paul had taken on his way to Rome as a prisoner. Here he was. He had warned against the people from setting out sail at this time because he knew there would be a dangerous voyage if they left and tried to sail during these times. But the captain of the ship, the centurion who was in charge, gave more heed to the captain and to the experienced sailors as opposed to Paul, who had warned them of the dangers that would come if they were to set sail. And sure enough, in Acts chapter 27, on their way to Rome, they got caught into a storm. And it was such a great storm that they hadn't seen the sun and the stars, the very means of locating and identifying their location. For many days, they were lost at sea with a great storm about them. They had started to throw the stores over the board of the ship in order to lighten it so that they would not sink in the midst of this storm. They were throwing over even their food. And it says in one point that as in verse 20, Acts chapter 27 and verse 20, "Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." You see the despair that was upon so many of them in this situation, being lost at sea with a great storm about them, not knowing where they were. And yet we see down in verse 27, we see that they understood that they were coming upon some land. But in verse 25, Paul encouraged the people first before that, "Take heart, men, for I believe God that will be just as it was told me." In verse 24, God had told Paul earlier in that night, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you," meaning that he would give them all their life, that they would not die in this storm. So Paul encouraged the people round about. And yet, even in the midst of this great storm, there was still distress. And then we see down in verse 33, after he had encouraged them, so Acts 27, verse 33, "And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, 'Today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing.'" Again, consider how very hungry you would be. 14 days they were lost. They had been lightening the ship. He says, "Today is the 14th day which you have waited and continued without food." Very hungry people who had been in the midst of despair. And then down in verse 34, "Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. So in the midst of this great storm, what was it that Paul did before they ate? Again, having abstained from food for 14 days, as it says here. In the presence of them all, Paul prayed to God and gave thanks for what they had, for the safety he had provided. Even in the midst of such a great storm and trouble and trial, Paul found reason and opportunity to give thanks to God. That ought to be such a great encouragement to us as well, that even in the midst of such life-threatening ordeals, to take time to give thanks to God for what we do have. Another example that we see over in Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers who came to Jesus as he was traveling along the road, and he healed the 10 lepers. He told them to go before the priest and to offer those things for of sacrifice of for their cleansing. And on their way to the priest, the men recognized that they had been healed of their leprosy. But it's interesting to note in Luke chapter 17, who was it that came back? Only one returned to glorify God. Over in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Jesus said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was as they went, they were cleansed." Then in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Again, consider this. There were those who, at the time, there wasn't a real cure for leprosy. If it left you, you were very lucky. Usually it was something that you suffered with your entire life. And here were 10 who had been healed of it. And only one took the time to return, give thanks to God. And as it says, he glorified God. What was it that we said in Romans chapter 1 that they forgot to do? They gave up glorifying God and being thankful to him. And yet here was one who had been healed, and because of that he came back, he glorified God, giving him thanks in verse 15 and 16. But only one of them did. When we consider this as well, remember to give thanks for us as well for what God has done for us. There's many times when we pray to him in the midst of our struggles and our deep despair. Yet do we always remember to come back and to give him thanks afterwards? No matter the outcome at the end of it, to be mindful of God, to glorify him when we have our prayers answered, and when we have been healed, and when we have been cleansed as this person was, and we have his example of. And for us as Christians, it ought to be an example that's even easier for us. As we've just partaken of the Lord's Supper here this morning, we were reminded of the great things that God has done for us. And that's brought up for us in Hebrews chapter 13. I'd like for us to read a few verses here. In Hebrews chapter 13, that reminds us as Christians the very thing that we ought to be mindful for every day. You know, it's difficult to remember other things that come to our mind when we have so many worries and struggles in this life that distract us from glorifying God. Let this never leave our mind. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10, it begins, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." Again, bringing back your mind to the things that Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary to sanctify the people with his own blood. That means us as well. Picking up in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, being Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So what is it that we ought to always continually be doing as Christians? We have the opportunity to continually be giving thanks to God for that great sacrifice that he has done for us through Jesus. So we ought to always have something to be giving thanks to God's name for. In conclusion, I'd like for us to consider these last couple of ideas. That are you a thankful person yourself? How often is it that you are mindful to give thanks to God? As Daniel, it was his habit 3 times a day to kneel down and give thanks to God. Even as one who was a captive prisoner, he was serving in the king's court, but he was serving another king of a foreign land. Yet it was his habit still that he maintained to give thanks to God for his situation, for where he was. We look over in Psalm 6. Psalm 6 in verse 5, it's a sober reminder for us. In Psalm 6 in verse 5, it says, "For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks?" Here, the psalmist is saying, I will give thanks while I am alive to God. For you cannot, he says, there is no remembrance in the grave, but instead he's saying, let us be mindful to do it now while we are alive still to give thanks to him. We have the scenes of those who give thanks to God in heaven for all eternity, and that's something that we ought to prepare ourselves for here in this life as well. As we see in Colossians chapter 3 as well, the example and the command that is given to us to be mindful of God. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So when we consider these ideas, am I a thankful person? How often do we consider it? For we have much to be thankful for. Last, we see over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is in context of reminding the Corinthian brethren there of the resurrection to come and the hope that we have because of Christ and what he has accomplished for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57, he ends that idea by saying, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory," that being the, in this context, the victory over death, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we all ought to be mindful of, constantly thinking about, and we always have a reason to give thanks to God. So we ought to be those thankful persons and avoid the bad habits and those things that come that are associated with those who do not like to retain God in their knowledge, who do not like to glorify God for the things that he has done, and who are not thankful to him. Let those things that we talked about earlier never be a way to describe us and our behavior and our attitudes. Let us constantly strive to avoid those types of things and not keep that kind of company in our lives, but rather be company with those who are glorifying God and thankful to him. Perhaps this morning there are those in the audience too who have not tasted that victory as we had just talked about over death. Through Jesus Christ and the suffering that he did outside of the camp for our sins, as we'd read about in Hebrews chapter 13. Because of that sanctifying sacrifice that he gave, we can be forgiven of our sins. If there are those in our number here this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to this life and lived a perfect life and was that perfect sacrifice for our sins, if you believe that he died as that sacrifice for our sins, and on the third day was risen, just as it was promised, and he continues to live in heaven, reigning upon his throne. If you believe these things about Jesus, would you confess your faith? Confess that you believe in who Jesus is and the facts about him. Repent of your old ways of life and begin to walk that new life, one that glorifies God and is thankful to him, rather than one who is self-indulgent and seeking your own ways. Repent of those ways. Confess your faith in Christ, then you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and have your sins washed away based on that faith. Perhaps there are those instead in the audience who recognize that there are things in their life that they need to change. They've not lived the way that God would have them to. They have been self-indulgent still. You have once believed, and yet you find yourself pulling away from the Lord. We can be any assistance to you this morning through prayers that we might be able to pray for you as you repent of your sin, come back to the Lord. Please let that be known while now we stand and while we sing.